In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Your righteousness, Jesus says. You can't claim your spouse's virtue as your own, neither can you be saved on the coattails of your parents. Whether young or old, you are judged individually. So your righteousness must be your possession. It must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. They knew the scriptures inside and out. The scribes taught others. They rendered decisions in all matters and laid down rules for the community. The Pharisees were pious. They did what they should externally, and they refrained from what they should refrain from externally. But you must be better than both. More pious, more knowledgeable, more devout, more zealous. If you are not, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. If you only equal them, you still will not make it. So you cannot find your righteousness in the fact that you have stayed out of prison, remained chaste, never stole, never got a ticket, never had a run-in with the law or used drugs. Christ does not tell you to exceed criminals and lawbreakers, but the best of the best. Neither does he say, do what is in you and you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. He won't reward your hard work, but only results. It doesn't matter if you're unable to do it. The standard remains, surpass the scribes and the Pharisees. And I've only mentioned the external piety you are to show. Your righteousness must flow from your heart. The Ten Commandments must define your heart. Christ gives you the full explanation of the law when he says, anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. The law of God pertains to each part of you. So look at the fifth commandment. Do not murder applies to your hands, your feet, your lips, your eyes, your mind, and your heart. So murdering is hitting someone, speaking hurtful words, an evil glance, thinking ill of them or wishing them misfortune in some way, and so forth. If you do this, or if you have done this, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Yet even if you begin this very moment to do all of this, you still would fall far short. Does God judge only your adult life? Does he judge only what he has seen after you have been baptized? Are your childhood sins irrelevant? Of course not. From the moment your life began until the moment it ends, your heart must be pious, virtuous, good, moral, zealous, devout, and righteous. No lapse in judgment. No caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. No bad decisions, no do-overs. The Ten Commandments must describe you from beginning to end. They must be true of your actions and your heart. And if you fail even once, you are not righteous, and thus you are barred from heaven. So how does your righteousness look? If you hear these words only as what you must do, then you will scramble and work hard to prove yourself worthy, but you still will not make it. While it's true that righteousness must be your possession, it is not true that it must come, be earned by you. In fact, if you want to be saved, it can't be earned by you. You must abandon all your good works, your kind words, your loving attitude, your generosity, and cling to a different righteousness, an external righteousness, the righteousness that Christ has earned. He was better than the scribes and the Pharisees because he embodied the law. This should not surprise us, since he is the Word of God made flesh. Not only is he the enfleshed gospel, but he also is the enfleshed law. You see, the law is good. It is a gift given to us by God. We are bad. So the Ten Commandments are descriptions of Christ. They define him. They reveal his heart, his attitude, his words, and his actions. His righteousness is an inner righteousness that spilled into actions. He loved God. He loved his neighbor. He earned a righteousness that avails before God. for he trusted in God even as he hung upon the tree. He was obedient to his mother and Joseph, even though he was their God. Never did he covet, though he had not even a pillow. Never did he take something for himself, though the earth was his and everything in it. Love cradled every word that flowed from his mouth, even those harsh and biting words, for he exposed sin to bring to faith. He healed the lame. He helped the bleeding. He raised the dead and gave sight to the blind, and he did all of this, even the miracles, for you, in your place. His life is a beautiful garment that he has woven together and now drapes over you. The works of Christ are credited to you. Yes, again, even the miracles. For he also has taken away your sins and borne your curse in his own body. He does not set aside or remove the law, but he fulfills it. Its harsh demands are satisfied by his life. Its harsh punishment was satisfied by his blood. He atoned for your sin and the price paid, and paid the price the law had set. There is no one to accuse you, no one to condemn you. No one can stand against you. No one can say that you are not righteous enough. No one can say that you fall short, because the righteousness of Christ exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. And this righteousness is your possession through holy baptism. You have not earned it, but it is yours, given to you as a gift through faith in Christ. So when Jesus tells you that your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, he's not telling you to try harder, but to believe in him. So we claim it as our own possession because we believe that it has been freely given to us. We do not claim it apart from Christ or outside of Christ, but in Christ we are bold and confident that the kingdom of heaven is open to us. God does not view us apart from Christ, and neither will we view ourselves apart from Christ, as St. Paul says. You also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Christ is never separated from his gifts. We do not receive a righteousness and then walk away from him, because he himself is our righteousness. This is why the psalmist can pray, and why also you can say, "Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness." And again, "The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness." For we believe what Habakkuk declared, "The righteous shall live by faith." This righteousness is our possession. But it was not earned by us. It was earned by Christ. Nevertheless, it is ours through faith. This is not an abstraction or a metaphor. We stand with Christ as beloved sons of God, holy and righteous, pure and perfect. We stand with him as heirs of heaven and judges of all things. So where Christ has gone, we also must follow. We will never be separated from him or cut off from him, for he is our righteousness. We are innocent. We are free from sin. We have kept the law externally and internally, which is to say, we are righteous. Now, none of this is true in and of ourselves, but this is the righteousness of Christ, earned for us and freely given to us in baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.